He may be on business.
They said start with Adam, but give him about one more minute and then we'll go. As he said, I'm on the way, start with that one. He gets the good seat. Mr. Stedman, it's a small group tonight. When we get to the part about the sign ordinance, just raise your hand. We have public comment at the beginning and the end, but since that's your area of interest, feel free to speak up. Keep in mind the tournament's on. No, I'm just kidding. You got something to say, say it. But, yeah, I mean, once we get into that portion, we'll just kind of open the floor because, you know, it's I don't think the rest of the crowd's going to overwhelm you. Okay, I guess we'll go ahead and start. Before we start the meetings, we have a tradition of doing a prayer and a pledge. And Daryl, would you lead us in the prayer, please?
Yeah, I'd be glad to do so. Pray with me if you feel so led. Father God, we thank you for this day and thank you for your many blessings, Lord. And just pray that you'd be with us this evening as we consider the business of Transylvania County and planning for its future. And help us to do so in a manner that's mindful of the best interest for Transylvania County in the future and its residents, Lord. And just, Father, we pray especially for all of our servicemen and women and all our leaders at all levels. Pray that you'd be with them and to seek your wisdom, guidance, and leadership. All these things we pray in Christ's name. Amen.
And Max, since you're standing, would you lead us in the pledge?
Attention, salute, pledge. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, I'm going to go ahead and call the meeting to order and try to read my agenda here off of my... You have a copy of the agenda. Did you give me one?
I did.
All right. I knew you did. I was just testing you. All right. Welcome to the meeting, and we've got some new members. Matter of fact, the majority of the board's new members, and this is the first meeting, so I thought in this welcome period we would all introduce ourselves and maybe talk about what your expectations are being on the board, particularly the new folks. Three of us that have been here a while, we can tell the folks what we know and what we don't know and whatever, what our expectations are. But we'll just start right here.
Staff has already done that for you.
Abby, okay. I'm sure of that. Certain of that.
My name is Lauren Wise. I've lived in Brevard for almost 6 years. I've lived in Western North Carolina for about 26 years in Asheville. I'm an architect and have some experience with some community planning in a number of different counties, and I'm just very excited to be part of this board and looking to see how we can create some good, healthy growth in this community, which it's a fantastic community. I absolutely love it, so I want to do what we can to make sure it stays happy.
Dr. Steve Woodsmall. I've been in Brevard 3.5 years. Moved here from Florida. Retired Air Force officer. Teach at college. And part of what I did in the Air Force was within the civil engineering function, which was basically infrastructure for Air Force bases and comprehensive planning and all that stuff. So I have some background in this. I'm here just really to get involved and do what I can to help. And probably listen a lot more than I talk for a while until I figure out what's going on.
What do you teach?
I'm a program coordinator for the business program.
So okay.
Business management leadership. I have a master's in business and PhD in management. All right. Happy to be here.
Thank you.
I'm Kenzie Jackson. I'm a native here. Graduated from North Carolina State with an electrical engineering degree and worked for Florida Power and Light Company for 37 years. Came back here, my wife and I, when both of us retired. She passed away 5 years ago. And I'm just coming off the city's board after 8 years. And, I have some background in planning. I recognize this board is different than the city's board, different venue, different situation.
Go ahead, Darren.
Oh, we sharing.
Yeah, we're sharing. We're all sharing.
Okay, all right. I'm Darrell Hodgson. I'm a native Trustee County. I work in Asheville too, in IT, and been on this board for a year now. And 8 years previous to that, I served as a county commissioner. So that's pretty much my whole story.
Okay.
I will warn you too. A lot of times I'm coming directly here from Cub Scouts on Thursday night, so I may be around a little late, but I'll get here eventually.
You're
going to
count as the next commissioner. I'm Sandy Watson. I am a retired special ed teacher. Retired here from New Jersey almost nine years ago. And I've been coming to these meetings as an advocate for the past couple of years. I got more interested in how this works, and I'm going to be probably doing a lot of listening too, but I like what I hear, and I just wanted to be a part of it, and I can't believe I'm here.
Joy Field Staff.
I'm Kaylin Lawson. I'm the Program Assistant in the Planning and Community Development Department.
I'm Mac McNeely from Lake Coxaway, and I graduated from Clemson with a degree in civil engineering. And if all of y'all want to do more listening than talking, then you're relying on me to do the talking.
Much shorter meetings.
Is that it?
That's it.
I'm Mike West. I am. Last year, I was the chair of the board. We went through the comprehensive plan process, and that was very interesting, both from a political standpoint and from a procedural standpoint. And I am from the upper end of the county. One of the two members of the planning board who are from the upper end of the county, and I went to UNCA, went to Western, have a degree in political science, have a little bit of master's work in public administration, work in Lake Toxaway, not too far from where Mac is. And took me the whole trip down here to warm up, so it was cold out today. But anyway, as I said, with a degree in political science, I kind of had a natural interest in this area, and I've been on this board for 6+ years. I filled in someone's term, I think, and then nearing the end of my second complete term. So at the end, it'll be 6.5 years. Prior to this, I was on the Juvenile Crime Prevention Council for 6 years. So I've done about a decade of public service, and as soon as this is over, I'm going back to Rosman and pulling the whole end behind me. So, you know. All right, and I'm glad that y'all are here, and we've been waiting for people to come along. We got down to 3 members last month, so it was kind of a... We were kind of at a standstill, so we're glad to see you here.
I'm Mark Burrows. I think most of you know I started with the county in 1990 as the first planning director, and I've taken on different roles during the intervening years. We're going to talk a little bit later, but I've helped the county create 3 comprehensive plans. And I would say, with the help of Joy and Kaylin, this is, without any question, from a staff perspective, one of the best ones that I've seen within the support of the planning board and a lot of community advocate time. So we're now in a different phase with planning, and that is kind of going back, and Joy's going to talk a little bit more about it in a few minutes, but looking at some of our ordinances and making sure they are, as the commissioners asked me when I started, to make sure ordinances stayed evergreen. So,
I have a question. Since there are only 3 of us at the last meeting, how do we approve the agenda?
Cool.
I mean the minutes.
The minutes?
Yeah.
Those were notes that would be taken. They would
okay.
not be.
So we don't require an approval?
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
Everybody get that? All right. And
yeah,
the agenda. Anybody?
I'll get there.
I'll come back to it since we're there. Anybody have any changes to the agenda? Other than I just moved public comment under agenda approval. My apologies, but we'll go ahead and do this and then have public comment. Any changes to the agenda? Objections to the agenda?
We'll need a motion to approve the agenda.
So
if you second it.
Second.
Any discussion? Seeing, hearing none. All in favor of the agenda? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right. I apologize, I missed a public comment there. Do you have any public comment right now? All right. As I said, when we get into the portion, I think it will be okay that you just raise your hand and join us because it's a small group tonight. All right. Next is the election of chair and vice chair. So we will now consider nominations for start with chair and start with vice chair.
Chair.
Start with chair.
I move we appoint Mike West to serve as chair.
Second. Any other nominations?
Nobody's going to do that.
That's what I'm afraid of. All right. So, I guess a discussion or just a vote?
I think you had the discussion already.
Okay.
I think it's a vote.
I'm trying to get some all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right, vice chair. We need nominations for vice chair.
I move we nominate Mr. Hobson.
Mr. Hobson is March, right?
All right.
I'm just
a hero. Second. All right. Any discussion on that? Hearing none, we'll move to vote. All in favor of Darrell Hogsett as vice chair, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? None? Okay. All right. Joy, subdivision updates and approvals.
When the subdivision ordinance was passed, there were many exemptions to the definition of subdivision. Some of those are regulated by the state. Some of those are chosen by the local elected officials, the county commissioners. And so at the top of the sheet I just handed out are the 9 exemptions to the definition of subdivision. They are fully described in the subdivision ordinance. But throughout the month between planning board meetings, Kaylin, Mark, and I review subdivision exemptions and subdivisions, and we record them depending on what they are, and you all receive a copy of that at the meeting. The exemption number 1 is recombining previously approved lots into one lot, which reduces the number of lots that are there. 1.2, if both parcels of land that are created by the subdivision are greater than 10 acres, it's exempt based on state statute and our subdivision ordinance. 1.3, public acquisition of land for widening roads. 1.4, 2 acres divided into no more than 3 lots. So if a property owner owns 2 acres, they can divide it into 3 lots.
It makes absolutely no sense, particularly in the county where you don't have water and sewer, and there's almost no place where you could put 3 lots on less than 2 acres. Almost. There may be a few exceptions, but very few.
1.5, a single lot inherited by will or other court-required process. 1.6, family subdivision. That was one that the county commissioners determined was necessary so that property owners could divide their property and give them to their heirs prior to their death. We see that one a lot. And based on the comments that we receive on the phone, sometimes they're not always true family subdivisions. But it's an exemption that people have the ability to use based on our subdivision ordinance. 1.7, court order of land division. 1.8, a division of land for cemetery lots. And 1.9, changing of boundary lines between adjoining property owners. Since January 19th, we have had 16 exemptions to the definition of subdivision come through our office. Many recombinations, several changing of boundary lines. You see the type of exemption. They're listed for you. Do you all have any questions? If a property owner wishes to have a survey of their land and maybe record a new easement on the property, it's an existing lot. It doesn't change the lines of the lot at all, and it is just an existing parcel.
So we're actually, when we're reviewing this, we are review officers, and we have to make sure that a plat meets minimum specifications to the state in order to be recorded. It's not difficult, but we just have to make sure of that. And then we have the subdivision ordinance, and we try to figure out, sometimes it's difficult to figure out based on what we're given as information, either by the surveyor, the lawyer, or family member. They'll come in, and quite frankly, sometimes it's a little bit squirrely. And they come in and they say, well, it's going to be a family subdivision. So at a later date, I think we want to come back in and discuss that. But the family subdivision was put in place as a compromise when this ordinance was originally adopted as a way of getting people to accept it, the locals particularly, to say that you could not subdivide the land for your children just seemed too much of a hardship. But what we're finding is that as land is being subdivided, road standards are not being met to get to those parcels. So that's something that we're concerned about. And just one other thing, Joy was correct. State statute is what governs the exemptions, but all of these are state statute. There are some that the state lists automatically. When we adopted the subdivision ordinance, we actually had to go and have local legislation adopted for the additional exemptions that we wanted, family subdivision being one of those. So technically, all of the exemptions are by legislation, state legislation, and they would have to be changed by state legislation as well. Questions, sir?
Anybody have any more questions, any follow-up questions to that?
One of the things I hope that we will see more of in the next few months will actually be subdivision, where we actually have a developer come in with a piece of property wanting to build a road, create lots. That is something that we typically will see some activity in the spring or summer. But the reality is, prior to 2008, we had a huge inventory of new lots in subdivisions. And we're still working through a lot of that inventory that is out there. And investors, property owners, have just not had enough comfort level to go in and develop a piece of property for a true subdivision.
Any more questions? All right, old business. I guess, Joy, Mark, who's doing the update?
I'm going to do that real quickly. County commissioners have received a updated, as you would as well, received an updated version of the comprehensive plan. We staff were instructed by the county commissioners to look at the economic development piece. They wanted to see corridor growth identified. Staff has done that. We've gone back through. They wanted to see action plans changed in terms of strategies to action. And then within action, it is both what is ongoing, current, and what is future or proposed. So we went through that. And then we also changed a lot of our strategies, said that we support, Transylvania County supports, I think accurately so. So when we said we support the best road network that we could put in, Transylvania County doesn't own roads. You know, DOT owns roads, or they're private, or it's the city through public funds. So support is the right word, and we didn't change that. But there were some where we were able to change that verb so that it was more than just support. It was enhance, increase, do something. So we went through and tried to identify those. The county commissioners at their meeting Tuesday morning. And does everybody know that the commissioners now have a new date for their meetings? Mm-hmm. So the second Tuesday of each month is now new, and that's at 9 a.m. And then the fourth Monday at 7 p.m., that remains the same. But if they're meeting on Tuesday morning, under consent agenda, they put a public hearing for the draft comprehensive plan. We will let the advocates, planning advocates, know Kaylin has put together an ad that will go in the paper. And just to make people aware, it is not required, but we want to just make sure people know. There's one thing that I don't think planning board or staff can be accused of, and that is not providing information about this plan during the last 3.5 years. So on the 27th, county commissioners will have a public hearing. I don't think there's much talk or discussion from staff or board members. It's just commissioners receiving feedback. And hopefully in April, they will adopt. So questions? Thoughts?
You said second Tuesday at 9, and then there's another one?
Fourth or Monday at 7 p.m.
The second Tuesday morning.
Yeah, 9 a.m. Oh, 900.
I would just like to say that when and where we use the word support, I think we were very deliberate about it, and I think we thoroughly discussed why we use the word support. I'm really talking to the tape recorder in case anybody's listening. We did that for a reason. We made intentional decisions, and I think, as Mark said, a lot of those times where we said the word support were things that were beyond the control of the county, but where the county could be a cheerleader or be an advocate or a spokesman. And I think that that's a good word. That's as good a word as we're going to be able to find. And I'm a little disappointed that we had to make those changes. That's just my personal opinion.
I have talked to a couple of commissioners, and I think the changes that have been presented seem to be acceptable to them. I would encourage you to look at all of you, including new members, but particularly the three that carry over, and reaching out to the commissioners and just reinforcing a need to go ahead and adopt if they are so inclined.
All right. Anybody have any more comments?
Joy, Kaylin, anything else?
All right. The second part, what we decided the course of action was after the comprehensive plan was to start reviewing existing ordinances for any changes that might be need to be made because of a federal or state law change. One, cleaning up the language. Not that there was anything wrong with it, but just rereading it and then seeing if there was anything that needed to be, in our opinion, taken out or added. So we're going through each of the ordinances. It'll probably take a considerable amount of the summer, I would guess, to do it this way. But we've been getting it, looking it over, talking about it, then sending in revisions. So I think this is the first. Is this the first one we've done? Second one? Ninth one we've done? I don't know. Yeah. Okay. So this is the first one, but
it is. It's the fourth time that we've talked about it, but with only three board members,
right.
We can't take any action.
Right.
And so,
right. That's why I thought. Yeah.
Sign control is the first one.
So anyway, that's the course of action that we decided on, was to go through those ordinances, and I think that's the most beneficial thing we can do. And with that, who's leading the discussion?
Back in 2015, there was a Supreme Court case between Reed and the town of Gilbert, Arizona. And it was the decision that signs are a form of free speech and cannot be regulated based on their content. From a government's perspective, it's important to regulate where signs are placed for the safety of motorists and the size and sometimes the design of signs for the safety of motorists and the aesthetic value for the community and property values, but the content itself cannot be regulated. So based on that, the sign control ordinance needed to be updated. You'll notice that there were a couple of definitions added to the definition page, or definition section of the sign control ordinance. One was the directional signs. It's important that directional signs be content neutral. And so looking at that, the definition was slightly modified because it can be a commercial activity of any type. It could be a yard sale. It could be a business. It could be a landscaping sale. So trying to make it content neutral. Using the guidance of a International Municipal Lawyers Association that went through different pieces of sign language and model signs and talked about the Supreme Court decision in reference to all these different pieces, they had a definition of a government sign, and we used the term in the ordinance, but it had not been defined previously. And so the definition of government sign was included in the definition. One of the model sign ordinances that staff looked at had a personal expression sign to allow for that freedom of speech. And it's an on-premise sign on your property that expresses an opinion, interest, or position. It is non-commercial in message. You guys have any comments of these definitions or any discussions? This is one that we don't have to include. It was put out there as a thought-provoking, do we want to add personal expression signs, or are temporary signs enough? Any temporary on-premise sign can be allowed for 30 days, and so does it matter if we have a specific type of sign that is personal expression signs that are exempt from the ordinance?
What, you may have done this previously. Give me an example of a personal expression sign. Can you?
I can.
Off the top of your head.
UNCA. Clemson. Daryl Hogsett for County Commissioner.
Yeah.
Not that you're running,
but
yeah, whatever Willie gets. Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
I would think that would be a temporary sign.
Unless you change alma mater, and then you could.
A personal expression sign would be a. It's on premise, right?
It is.
It's on your property.
Okay, so it's a sign out front of your house
saying
whatever, right?
Or a turkey sign. How about what?
Could be a sign in front of my house that Daryl Hodges is a no good guy.
That's true.
Personally,
I understand it could not have any profane language in it.
Right. No yeah. signs that are allowed.
That's another point. Here's the kind of the blurry point for me. Mm-hmm. You don't see them as much as you used to, but you know there's the portable signs that you can change out the same, mm-hmm. like at a business or a place of worship or something of that nature. And I have seen those. I think I've seen them in the county.
I've seen them
outside of the county.
There's actually a couple in the city.
Yeah.
And there are a couple in the county, but we actually try to go. Temporary portable sign with wheels
yeah.
on it. Is that
yeah.
what you're?
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? It lights up, and you can.
They don't light up. Letters. At least in the county, they should not be lighting
okay.
up. And what we have done is allowed the property owner to remove the wheels and install them in a permanent foundation.
Okay.
And so you do see some of those signs, but most of the ones in the county, 280 has a good example of that going out on the right,
yeah.
Just before you get to the hospital's property. That temporary portable sign was cut off, wheels taken off, and it was mounted in the ground permanently. But it has that changeable background. That is allowed, but wheels not allowed.
Okay, so if it's at a place of business, but they're using personal expression on it to advocate for or against a particular candidate or school or whatever the case may be, would that be considered personal expression instead of business then?
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? Somebody say, you know, go Blue Devils or go Frogs and Tigers, and they might say, you know, something derogatory about, I've seen them personally, several in South Carolina that were anti-Obama signs, you know, in that manner.
Yeah.
So where would that fall? At a place of business where they're using personal expression, you see what I'm saying? Because it's kind of a...
We can't control that.
Okay.
That's basically the way the court would come down. Saying
yeah, okay.
We can't control what the message is.
That's where I would come from as well. They have a right to.
Yeah, we can't control the message. We
okay.
can't control location. We can control size, and sometimes, in some cases, the time of how long something is. But not, and that's what the whole reason why this ordinance is the one we're looking at first is because
yeah.
we are not content neutral right now. We actually have differences based on content.
And that brings me to another point that I had not thought about until Joy mentioned it. If courts have ruled, this is not something I'm necessarily supportive of, it just came to my attention knowing it was in here. If the courts have ruled that we can't control sign content, but yet we have an option in here that forbids signs containing words or graphics that are obscene as defined in Chapter 15 of the North Carolina General Statute, is that not controlling the, would that not be in conflict with the court ruling?
I think that's an obscenity.
Okay.
They're looking at something that's different. That is seen as, from the public's perspective, as not being wholesome, however
mm-hmm.
defined. So that's different than having a support a candidate or don't support or a
yeah.
Clemson flag. There you're doing something that the courts have been able to find and said this is what is offensive.
Okay.
All right.
Just to make sure I'm clear, before this revision, there really wasn't a separate category for a on-premise sign, commercial or private, that said "Go Blue Devils." Is that correct? So we're kind of saying that does happen. We're not going to stop that, but we'd like to have a provision.
Well, that is up to
or
up
asking
for
the
debate.
Question. We're asking the question.
All right. Do we want to have a provision, or is our temporary signs adequate? Because that property owner may not have that Go Blue Devil
forever.
All the time.
But if it's temporary, there's a time limit.
There's a time limit.
30 days.
30 days. Yeah.
And is there a time limit for personal expression signs?
Well, like a flag.
I mean, we see Confederate flags
yeah.
flown all over. You know,
right, or your school flag or whatever.
I personally am not interested
and going out and saying, well, you've had that flag up for 30
days.
Probably not a good idea.
Yeah.
I'll take Mike and Darryl with me.
We'll end up on the news.
That is a personal expression. That's probably the example that would come up here in this community.
But it's not a sign.
No.
Why are we talking about it? Because it's...
It's
personal expression, but...
Yeah. So we don't have to talk about it.
We don't.
No, we can be silent.
Grant personal expression signs completely.
We're silent. There's no... We don't have anything. We're not saying anything. But that is an alternative.
Mm-hmm.
Right. The only thing I think is just what we've been through. What is personal expression? Something we need to just be silent about.
I have no interest in telling somebody what they can say on their own property. That's just me. I have zero interest in that.
Or telling them that they only have 30 days.
Oh, they only have 30 days to do it.
Okay.
I want to put up a Clemson sign.
There you go.
I like that idea as it pertains to Dr. Cozart's Carolina flag. Anything else?
But, yeah, I mean, and I'm not in favor of the 30-day clause on there either.
All right.
If I want to have a sign that says whatever.
Is that practically enforceable?
But regardless, the size of the sign is regulated. So if someone can't put up a billboard in their front yard that says Clemson, or can they?
If we don't identify personal expression, they could. The sign could be, because it's on their property, it would be limited to 150 square feet.
Right.
But here's an interesting question. Maybe this is a dumb question. If I put a sign in my front yard, you'd have to trespass to see it.
Says what?
You would have to trespass to see it. I mean, I'm, you know.
All right.
So why don't you just put it in your living room?
I mean, if it's in my front yard, you'd have to violate my, you'd have to trespass onto my property to see it. So why would it need to be regulated?
We're not interested in that.
Agreeing that personal expression signs just need to remain off the sign ordinance?
I'm agreeing with that.
I have. Is that a problem now? If it turns out to be a problem, which it may be,
I have one more
problem.
Question.
The problem with that is, I'll say, from my experience, if you think it's going to be a problem, well, let me just say, the county will get sued if they try to deal with the problem after it's become a problem. If we suspect it's going to be a problem, or if it's of concern to you, we need to go ahead and address it. But if it's not of concern to us, not addressed. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
Am I making sense or
right, absolutely.
If we just wait for it to come up and then address it,
it's harder. Yeah,
it's harder, and you're probably going to get the county going to end up sued. It's a nasty mess. Personally, given that, I'm still not interested in it necessarily.
Yeah.
But I just wanted to throw that out.
No, that's a good point. That's a good point.
What if my son says I prefer Ingles? Personal expression, but it's also an advertisement.
It's also a commercial message, yeah.
Anyway.
How close can you put any sign in your yard to the road?
Well,
send out again, sir.
How close can you put your sign in your own yard with respect to the road?
So that will be determined by the right of way that the road has.
Okay.
The problem with that in our county is a lot of the right-of-ways are ditch-to-ditch or edge, and so it can be right up on that. Then the next thing that we look at is safety hazard.
Right.
Is it going to interfere with somebody's ability to make a turn or to see cars coming? And that's what we would be looking at.
Yeah, it's in here.
6.4.
Yeah, 6.4. No closer to the edge of right-of-way, or no closer than 20 feet from the edge of the traveled way, whichever is greater. At least 25 feet from abutting property lines and outside of all site visits.
Otherwise, it couldn't be right next to the
right.
So that is only defined on on-premise signs, not off-premise signs.
What the?
The 20 feet or the right-of-way, whichever one is greater.
5.2.
Oh, it is. You're right. Never mind. My screen's correct.
We did.
So, consensus of the board in terms of looking at the issue of personal expression sign is seems to be at least some discussion about it. It's not needed at this time.
I would move that, I think.
Okay.
I mean, that's a good point. It's likely to be a problem. I don't know.
I have one other question just regarding that line. It says personal expression signs of any type, including flags. I thought flags were exempted under...
Government flags are.
But what about like a church flag, Christian flag?
Right. Those are not government flags.
But is it a sign? Or is it a flag? I mean, you see what I mean? If you exempt one kind of flags, then are you... implying that other flags.
What about the flags that you find down at the car dealership that have those long, skinny, what do you call them?
The flag banners.
Flag banners, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those are what we have a problem with. They don't meet the temporary sign size regulations, but they are intended to be portable, and they're intended to be permanent because they're not set in stone. And we see them popping up all around the county, all around Western North Carolina, but they do not meet the sign control ordinance.
How are we addressing that issue? Because I've had that brought to my attention specifically. How are we addressing those type of signs here in this? Are we going to treat them as temporary, or are we just going to go on without some kind of definition to make your job easier?
How have we done it?
To this point, we have called property owners and said that they are do not fit within the sign control ordinance, and all of the property owners that we have called have been gracious and have taken them down. There are, you know,
we have a number go up on 280, and we went out there, and Joy went out and said they are not in compliance with the sign control ordinance. They were gave them where it's not in compliance, and they removed.
They move, and they're taller than 5 feet.
Yeah.
So the concern is the movement. Is it distracting for drivers?
Yeah.
Right. But moving signs are not allowed.
So I'm going to kind of direct on. So the change on 1.13, we're going to strike.
It's the definition.
And then... continuing then on page 3, you've added scenic byways.
Scenic byways. The sign control ordinance mentioned the scenic corridor ordinance and highlighted the fact that off-premise signs were not allowed on along scenic corridors, but it did not mention NCDOT scenic byways. And we had an issue of a property owner receiving a sign permit from us for a sign that met our ordinance but did not meet NCDOT regulations. And so we wanted to be sure that our local ordinance matched NCDOT regulations, and off-premise signs are not allowed along scenic byways.
examples of scenic byways?
You all received a map from me. Previous planning board members received it in January, but the NC-281 is a scenic byway. 64 from 215 past the Jackson County line is a scenic byway. 215 from 64 up to the parkway, and actually over into the neighboring county and back down NC-276 through the National Forest past the Cradle of Forestry is one scenic byway. It's a loop called the Forest Heritage Scenic Byway. And then the Whitewater Way Scenic Byway and Topsaway Falls Scenic Corridor is the other one along 281. So there's those, there are four roads in our county that are scenic byways, or stretches of those roads are scenic byways. And then the scenic corridors, it extends the US 64 byway slightly, going up towards New Cut on 64. That's a scenic corridor. NC-280 going up Little Mountain is a scenic corridor. And then Stephen Road, Staten Road by DuPont is a scenic corridor. And those are the three scenic corridors that are not scenic byways.
Can you explain the difference if you did not hear?
Scenic corridors are a stretch of road that the county commissioners determined were significant to maintain the scenic characteristics of them. And
that was based on recommendation of the planning board. The planning board identified these stretches of road. The county commissioners agreed, and they adopted a scenic corridor ordinance the same time they adopted the sign control. Two separate ordinances, but were adopted at the same time.
Yeah, that's good.
NCDOT has a process for designating roads as scenic byways. And so if we wish to go through that process, we can see if we can get our scenic corridors to match the scenic byways or to be included. But right now, they are separate. It's a local ordinance and a state policy.
I thought Wilson Road had some sort of designation.
No.
No. 178, it's about scenic byway, isn't it?
Mm-mm. Not that I'm aware of.
Not according to the NCDOT records.
And it's not a scenic corridor by the county. Yeah. That can be a discussion. The 1.19 looks like just a typo or a change with inserting a hyphen. 1.22, temporary portable sign.
A sign that is displayed for only a specific period of time. Signs on wheels are constructed of paper, cloth, canvas, plastic sheet, cardboard, wallboard, or other like materials that appears to be intended for temporary display and easy movement.
So, can we go back for a minute? So, what did we end up with on the flag thing?
I think we're
kind of just started over.
Yeah, we're going to jump. I kind of pulled us back. We're going more sequential here.
Well, my thinking was maybe under definitions when 1.19, maybe it could be addressed there.
What a flag is?
Yeah.
Okay.
I just didn't know if we closed out.
We have not. We'll get that on page 4.
Also on 1.19, I don't want to be the yes, there's a mistake on there. Second
the
sentence. It says making anything known.
No, yeah.
Okay.
I don't like to be that guy, but sometimes
you have
to.
That's great. Yeah.
Three point eight is also in section 5 for discussion. I don't, based on conversations, I don't necessarily think that it needs to be in section 5. I think they can be exempt. It was just for discussion purposes. But directional signs to commercial activity or locations. A directional sign shall not exceed 32 square feet in area per sign face and shall not exceed 8 feet in height or length per sign face and shall have a maximum height of 12 feet. That's very large for a directional sign. That's the size of plywood, a sheet of plywood. So as we are looking at directional signs, whether they should be exempt from the sign control ordinance or not, if they are exempt, we may want to look at the size. Because if a sheet of plywood falls over on your car as you're driving by, it would damage it significantly. And part of the purpose of the sign control ordinance is to make sure that motorists are safe.
So 3.8, the first part of that, you're really getting to
directional signs.
Directional sign and removing real estate and personal. So you're not specifying.
Yes. Not specifying.
All right, so that's
content neutral.
And that's also what is in the strikeout there of what was 3.90. That's also removing content neutral garage sale or anything like that.
3.8.3.
On the version I'm looking at, says 3.9.
Okay. Garage sale and yard sale signs should not be specified because they are based on content.
Yeah, that's pretty straightforward. Then you raise the next thing, which is the size. And the planning board, I remember Harry Ashworth was on the board at the time, and his big thing was he wanted something that would be easy for somebody to recognize. And he said a sheet of plywood, so 36 square feet, is what the planning board came up with. And Joy and I have talked about this, and I've seen some of the directional signs that are a sheet of plywood. I think it's too large for just a directional sign. And to me, it needs to be half that. For something that would be under the category, you know, where you're actually looking at a sign of this nature. That's something you, though, need to discuss and see what you want. And that doesn't have to be tonight. That could be something that you think about. We would probably recommend that you put that in half to about half a sheet of plywood looking at that.
Need a motion for that?
No,
necessarily.
Mike, you're not looking. I think consensus right now is sometimes Steve, the board, more often than not, the board seems to work from a position of consensus.
Okay.
If it looks like it might be something that is more
contentious, that's what I was thinking. Those two words sound very similar.
Then, at discretion of the chair,
yeah,
and,
okay,
and the board and how you want to proceed, but oftentimes then it's just a vote so that you can move on.
That's good.
As we are looking at directional signs in 3.8 and looking at removing garage sales and yard sales and real estate signs, planning board members in November were very concerned with that removal. And based on guidance from the Lawyers Association, I jumping over to the section 7, point 6. They had guidance for the sale of property. I don't know if that's needed. If we have directional signs and it's content neutral and it can be directional signs to anything, but we maintain that not more than 3 off-premise directional signs shall contain directions to the same activity, it could be any directions, whether it's a property that's for sale or garage sales or your boat's for sale or you're having a warehouse sale or, you know, it could be any directional sign. And so as you're thinking about directional signs, think about whether you feel comfortable with the verbiage for real estate signs to be included within that directional sign exemption. Does that make sense? Okay.
The directional sign. Do we want to modify this size of this sign, this 32 square feet? Okay.
The staff would make a recommendation to do that, but it's up to you.
Yeah, that makes sense to me.
That's all that is. Half sheets, 4 by 4
mm-hmm. by 4, 16 square feet.
16 square feet.
4 by 16.
5 by 20.
But if you think about a directional sign like out on the 4-lane, maybe to a bed and breakfast or something like that, people would need to see it at night. There's certainly times a 4x4 direction or a 32 square foot directional sign is not too small. If you just have a little bitty sign out on the 4-lane at night, and it has to be off the right of way, and the right of way is 150 or 200 feet wide. And
you're still not going to see it even if it's a shoot flyway.
But that's what I'm saying. The smaller it gets, the harder it is to see, and then people have to turn around and they have accidents. Our truck drivers miss a sign like that, and they turn around in somebody else's driveway and mess up their driveway or run over their mailbox. I'm just telling you. There's a pretty good safety factor in driving straight to a place and finding it the first time.
I think in most cases the half size would be more than enough. In most cases, I can think of anyway. There'll be those times where, like you said, someone may press for a larger sign.
I mean, if it's on a secondary road and people are traveling 25 miles an hour, that's fine. Yeah. But if it's out on a sheet of plywood, is not very big on the side of the road if somebody's driving 60.
No more 4 lanes than what we have in the county. Is there not a way for us to address it in that manner? Mark? To allow, we say that the signs are to be no larger than this size outside of 4-lane corridors on 280 and 64.
You could actually say 3.8.1 directional signs along and then list the sections of road shall not exceed 32 square feet. Then you could add a new 3.8.2 saying that directional signs on any of the road cannot exceed 16 square feet. Something to that effect you can put in.
Is that acceptable?
And they're not allowed anyway on any of the scenic byways.
That's correct.
It's an off-premise sign. So, if you're thinking about 215, 281.
Yeah.
That brings up the point of off-premise signs. Off-premise signs can be much larger, but they are regulated by the subdivision ordinance. They're not an exemption. So, the directional signs, if they wanted to go larger, they would just need to get a permit to do so. If you reduce the size for any road,
This is a request. This is just basically a directional sign.
Or they could get a permit.
It's going to be an arrow that's going to say McNeely Truck. That's all it is. If you want something that's larger, you could put something up that's larger. You could put something up that's larger than 32 square feet. It's just going to fall under an off-premise sign. So that is, Joy is correct in that. You still have the ability. Now you'll have to, with this, you know, now somebody that you would put a sign like that on may not want something greater than 32 square feet. You know, they may say, I'm okay with 1632 square feet, but I don't want something up to 150 square feet. That would be the issue that you'd have to deal with as a property owner, business owner. You see directional signs usually on Saturday mornings for churches or for weddings. That's how we see the directional signs. They're more in line with family reunion. Is the type of directional sign.
But those are temporary signs.
Yeah.
If the sign contains any additional message or exceeds the maximum area, it shall be construed as an off-premise advertising sign. So if it's more than just an arrow or direction to an activity or a location, then it would automatically be an off-premise sign anyway.
Kiss. Keep it simple.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
And so
there is a variance process.
There is.
Has there been problems with?
We've not had a problem. No, we've not seen. We had some directional signs that were 32 square feet up, now going up 64. Past Rosman, there were some that went in. But we haven't seen a lot.
And the state took those down.
Right.
And
is that a violation?
Go ahead.
Is that a violation of the state ordinance?
The scenic byway. The state has its own ordinances. That they don't allow any off-premise signs on the byway.
We might be going way too deep into the weeds on this, but really matters for Transmitting County anyway.
May I suggest right now, let's leave it at 32. And you guys think about whether or not, and at the next meeting, give us guidance as to whether or not it should be 16 or 32. Or a combination that says on these roads it can be 32, on others, all others.
Let me throw another one out there as a potential that I think was keep it simple and keep the same from the same pages as well. What if we stated the size to be half of what's here, but also add a note if a larger, add a note of some sort stating if a larger sign is desired, they may go through a variance process.
Might as well just keep the larger sign there. If you're telling them that they can do
there's no guarantee that they're going to get it through the variance process.
Then you have to go back to the variance process, and you're going to have to look at what those standards are,
yeah.
And you're going to have to be pretty consistent with that,
yeah.
And make sure that then we're going to have to look at the variance and how we define that. But if you're saying it's 16, but if you like 32, we'll do 32.
Well, that's the case anyway, isn't it?
So make
but
it 32.
If you want larger, let us know. And we'll
yeah. If that's the case anyway,
yeah.
If somebody wanted a 34 square foot sign instead of 32, they would go through the variance process.
Or they would get a permit.
Yeah.
They would probably get a permit because while they have every right to bring it to you as a board for that request, staff is not going to recommend because we're going to say it's 32 or you get a permit as an off-premise sign.
Okay.
So that's, I mean, they have every right to bring it to you. We will bring it to you, but my recommendation, staff's recommendation, would be denied.
Okay.
There are other alternatives to what they could do on that.
Okay.
We're good?
No way.
So I have a question. This may be a dumb question. It may not be relevant, but how does this compare? I'm sure the city has an ordinance too, right?
I guarantee you they do.
Oh, yes.
And I'm sure it's worse.
Oh, yeah. It's much more.
Yeah.
So we do not look to their ordinances as for guidance.
Not necessarily for guidance, but just for comparison. I'm just curious. If that's someplace we don't want to go, I'm fine with that. I just thought I'd ask the question.
Well, you've got a resident expert here.
You know what I'm saying.
You were representing the county.
I recall, I don't know how many years ago it was, the city commission spent hours and hours on signing this and that and the other. And since then, I think they've modified it four or five times, and you know, it's you don't want to get into something. I remember the deal. There was no electronic sign, no flashing sign, and they almost had a fight over that one night. And of course, they ended up allowing it.
I'm sorry I asked.
No, I mean, there is a huge difference between, and this is statewide, nationwide, urban versus rural areas, and for different two. All right.
Right. I have a question. Is there a way to make this simpler? Why would we... If somebody has a sign smaller than 32 square feet on their property and it's not in the right of way, why do we care? Why do we care?
It would be an aesthetic issue.
Okay.
Well, that's a direct. I probably should put a directional sign in there.
If I have a sign that says "I love Bozo the Clown," and it's under
30. That's personal expression.
Exactly.
But you guys don't want that in the ordinance.
No, I don't. I don't. I'm just wondering why we're messing with anybody's sign that's under 32 square feet on their own property.
We're not. Not on their own property. Directional sign. Directional sign is on somebody else's property. An off-premise sign is on somebody else's property. If it is your property and you want to put up a sign and it's greater than 32 square feet, you have to get a sign permit for an on-premise sign. You're allowed one on the building and one on at the road per state frontage. Okay. So if you have two state roads, if you're on a corner of two state roads, you could have two signs out off the building and two on the building. You can put up as much as "I love Live Bozo," but nobody's going to see because of where you live, but you can put them there.
But if somebody's beside the road and they're not in the right of way and the sign's under, why would we care?
I know.
That's my point. That makes this ordinance far simpler. If somebody's got a...
I don't know if the ordinance is really addressing those. This is more of a... an off-premise situation where it's not in your yard.
Yeah, we're not
the on-premise.
We're not in your yard.
Yeah.
We're talking about directional signs.
Well, it's in somebody's yard.
It's in somebody's yard.
Somebody, but it's not your yard. It's in somebody else's yard.
But it was my yard, and I want to put a sign up that says they get Barrel's Barbecue.
Why was that a problem?
It's a directional sign.
What's the other rationale?
They're exempt.
It's less than 32 square feet.
So
if
I sold barbecue,
I
greatly appreciate it.
What is the purpose of the sign control ordinance?
Control.
Control. It's one
that's
of the
purposes of the sign control ordinance.
Well, there is also a safety component
right.
to it.
Mm-hmm.
That
right.
is, you don't want signs in the road. You want to make sure that they are mounted sufficiently so that if you have a windstorm, you don't have signs being blown. You don't want to have distractions to motorists because you've got moving parts or something that keeps somebody from focusing where they need to be, which is in front of them. So there's a safety component, there's an aesthetic component.
And I understand if you have something in the right of way, that's not your property. I understand that, but that's a different thing. If you're creating a safety hazard, a real safety hazard, that's a different thing. But I'm just not sure. I don't want to put a sign up that says "Buy rocks from Mac." That ought to be my right, but I'm going to lose this one. I'm sure.
I'm not sure what the argument is, though. I'm
directionals. If I want a directional sign in my yard, and it's not.
Mac's going to come to you. Mac's going to come to you and say, "Mike, you got a great piece of property. My place of business is just down the road. Would you let me put this directional sign in your yard?"
Yeah.
Yes. And you would be able to.
Right.
Because it's exempt from the sign control ordinance, and it's your property, and...
You got it.
You got
it. Not a problem as long as it's less than...
32 square feet.
Or you get a permit.
Or you get a permit.
Or off-premise.
That's where I'm heading there.
Yeah.
What would... It's about control, but what would... Why would you care if my sign was 36 feet if it's in my yard? What? 36 square feet. Why would you care? Why would you care if it's 285 square feet if it's in my yard? I mean, other than control, what are you looking at?
Well, if it's...
The only rational thing I've heard is a directional sign, and that's just a term.
Would you not be permitted so that it doesn't fall in the road? So that it's inspected for...
A permit doesn't keep it from falling in the road. A permit means they pay money to the government to have it put up.
And it's inspected, is it not?
It's
inspected for safety.
I can tell you, someone who thinks we live in a beautiful area, everybody having a big, plywood sign in their yard, to me would be, take away from where we live.
I guess we're going to get into the age-old question of, is it mine? But
yeah,
that's for another day, I guess.
All right. If I could...
I think you ought to be allowed to put up a sign in your yard as long as you're not creating a safety hazard for the public or you're detracting from the area as a whole in some way. And the point he makes is, when you do that, you have a series of signs. People put a sign in their front yard, billboard size or something like that, then you begin to detract from the area, in my opinion. But other than that, I think y'all maybe put a sign in your yard. But you can, right? You can.
You can.
Yeah.
And this is 33 square feet.
All right, so size we're going to leave right now on that piece. The next one that we have is 4.4.
3.9. Temporary 4.4. Oops. I did not print off the copy for myself. I'm using a previous version.
Okay.
So my numbers are not reflecting yours. I apologize.
There's more copies over here.
There are.
Okay.
That's why, yes.
So we are on 3.10.
Right now,
since there's consensus not to address that, we're going to move on from it.
That is correct.
All right. 4.4.
We have not talked about 3.9. We did talk about 3.10, yes.
Right.
Okay. So that's where it comes off from the red line. Temporary signs, decorations, or displays which are associated with an event or celebration may be posted for a maximum time period of 30 calendar days before and 10 calendar days after said event.
Is that political signs?
That used to be religious and holiday signs, but it can be political because the election is an event. It can be holidays or religious or national celebration.
Would it include like garage sale signs and stuff like that?
It could. because if you have the garage sale as an event, it could be under that one.
It really doesn't say anything about signs. It says temporary decorations or displays.
That's exactly where I was going to go. Now look at the definitions, and we don't want either one of those.
I mean, that's like my neighbor's Christmas lights. If I really hate him, I'm going to have Mark come make him take them down, and he can only put them up 30 days before Christmas.
Yeah, Mark doesn't want
to. And he better have them down January the 5th, or I'm calling Mark again.
Right. Because that is on private property. Now you are telling people what they can have them.
So we want to scratch that one, too?
Yeah,
because that is currently in our ordinance.
I had a wrong call sign in New York for 2 years.
As it stands today, only it reads temporary signs, decorations, or displays which are associated with any national, local, or religious holiday or celebration. For a maximum time period of 30 calendar days before and 10 calendar days after said event. But the way it stands now, it's not content neutral.
I think the challenge on that one from an enforcement standpoint, although we have not had a lot, is just the time frame and having that.
We did use this in a recent situation and found that the signs for an event had been up for more than 30 calendar days. The harvest of at the fields had several signs that we had received calls about, and they had been included under this exemption, and then they came in and got a permit for that because they no longer fit this exemption because they had been up for 140 days at least.
And it was complaint driven.
It was complaint driven.
That was one of my next questions. Is this all complete yet?
Most of it is.
Most of it.
Yeah, unless we see something and we feel obliged to make the owner aware and take action, it is almost always complete.
We don't have to address it now. Technically, we can wait till we get the enforcement, but that's a serious problem I have with this order.
It is what?
It is complaint driven.
Is what there?
That it's complaint driven. And the reason I say that is just, you know, briefly and quickly, in the case that was brought to me, there was a business owner that had a complaint brought against him. He had some of the big signs. So a competitor complained about his signs. He knew who it was, what was going on. They had very similar signs themselves. But he wasn't willing to say, hey, well, they're doing the same thing. So, you have unequal compliance, yeah. You have, you know, it pertained to him, but because of his unwillingness to complain about that person, it didn't pertain to them.
So, we didn't hear it.
No, he was called.
I'm not.
He received a call from your office about his signs.
But he didn't tell us about the other sign.
No.
So we didn't know about the other sign.
No.
Okay. All right. I just wanted to make sure that I didn't.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It
wasn't
something.
Y'all dropping the ball. It's
okay,
just
fine.
He didn't want to be that petty and complain just because that person complained about him. So.
Okay. But he should have.
He probably should have.
He should have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the problem is. The problem that I have is
if I don't know about something.
If you don't know, I'm not pointing the finger at you for doing anything wrong.
Fine.
I'm just saying that the enforcement is not fair for this. That's a serious problem that I have.
I would agree.
Yeah.
I would agree.
And it being complaint driven, which I understand, but that's the problem.
That's true with any ordinance that we have. Flood damage control, we're going to mention just briefly a little bit later. That's something we're dealing with right now.
Okay.
Complaint driven. Calendar days.
So if I take that little wavy flag down every 29 days and leave it down one day, then I can put it back up?
Mm.
6 months. That's in here.
14 consecutive days.
So I can take it down every 13th day, leave them down for a day, and put them back up, and it's never controlled under the ordinance.
Well, you're watching the calendar
like
that?
Around
it,
you can.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yes.
So, are we scratching temporary signs, decorations, or displays? Are we removing that section, 3.9?
To me, that sounds like something in a subdivision ordinance.
Let me ask you this here. Let's take the situation of a harvested field sign.
Yeah.
If we scrap this, he would not have been protected for the 30 days.
He would have been protected for 14 days under the... although one of the suggestions under temporary is to extend it for 30 days. But he had 40 days of protection. Because of
that he would not have if we scrapped this.
He had an extra 10. Oh yeah. Well, under the current ordinance, he had an extra 16 days.
But if we strike 3.9 altogether,
mm-hmm.
he would only have 14 days as opposed to 40, right?
Unless we change it to 30, okay. As red line.
Yeah.
To be
consistent. If we strike this, I would want to be sure to change that to 3.
Well, I haven't read the court case, but wasn't that part of the court case was if you have rules for temporary signs, they're for all temporary signs, and not have one set of rules for temporary signs for real estate signs and another set for festivals and
that kind of thing.
But these temporary signs are specifically to an event or celebration. Any type of event or celebration.
It doesn't include real estate signs.
Well, that's what I'm saying is you can have a set of rules for temporary signs but not have one set of rules for real estate signs and another set for events. And because temporary signs are temporary signs.
Yeah.
I mean, is that what the case said?
Yes.
I don't understand one thing, though. What? And I wasn't here for the conversation, but signs was scratched.
Most likely that was an error on my part.
Okay. That
you need to have that in there in order to go back to a definition.
Yeah.
It needs to be in there.
It needs to be in there. That was an error. So these temporary signs, decorations, or displays, if they are directional, they are here, but they're temporary, so they should be covered under the temporary signs. You're absolutely right. Regardless of if it's for an event, which means that we may need to look at the time period of the temporary sign. And maybe instead of 30, look at 45, because that might be how long people want to put out campaign signs. On average, not 14 days, not 30 days, but, 30 days before the election and 10 days after the election, or, however they want to display it within that 45 days.
It's about the state, how thin you can put them out and
on the right of way.
I thought that was state law, that, 10 days after the election, they've got to be down.
It's on the right of way.
Yeah.
But like Christmas tree farmers, we'll need more than 30 days because they sell from just before Thanksgiving to Christmas, and when they post their signs, they're going to need more.
Yeah. So if we scratch this, do we want to extend the time frame for temporary signs?
Absolutely.
That would be my thing.
Are we in consensus that we can scrap this and address the intent of this section under temporary signs?
The only thing that is defined here that I don't believe is defined under, you're talking about section 7, temporary portable signs, is this would just apply to signs, not
decorations
and displays.
But as we discussed with the personal expression, do we want to regulate the decorations and displays?
I don't want to. I'm fine with scrapping this and extending the time frame under the temporary signs. I just want to make sure, you know, we were cool with scrapping the decorations and displays. I'm fine with it.
So on 7-1, we're going to take that to 45?
So I change 14 to 45?
Yeah.
So it's actually recommended to go to 30 now.
Well, but then Mac was talking about Christmas tree farmers.
Yeah, I'm fine with 45.
30 was recommended because of consistency. Yeah. It seemed like any time there was a time mentioned in signs in this ordinance, it was 30 days. So that was just thrown out there for consistency purposes.
And this is going to apply to portable signs.
On premise portable signs, they'll be allowed for a maximum of 45 consecutive calendar days.
I thought portable signs were going to be mistaken.
Yeah.
We should leave it like that.
Yeah.
There was a case the first time that I ran. I didn't have signs, but our primary was in September, and then there was election in November, so that would be a problem here if your signs were, you know, it would be for that 6 month interval. Actually, you'd have them up for 45 days.
I'm not going to run for it.
Okay.
I mean, so I think that's.
And that goes back to his plan of enforcement. It's
building
permit.
Isn't that state regulation only on right of ways then?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. It is only on right of ways. It's not personal property.
Right.
But in that case, it's personal expression. It's less than 32 square feet. So.
Right. if your personal expression is only 31 and a half, you're good. It's 34. Go see Mark and get a permit.
Signs for evidence.
Mm-hmm. 4.4 is actually probably the hardest thing that we have to deal with. And I think that's why Ned is here, is 4.4, and that's signs, whether temporary or permanent. But what we have are those little signs that say for broadband connection or for satellite, what are they? Those get just dumped out. They are prohibited. What we need to look at, and I've thought about this really just this evening, is we need to come up with a way to effectively just say on any sign that is inconsequential in cost and define it, that we can just remove it. Otherwise, we have to go through a fairly lengthy process, and that's the challenge that we have on signs because it's somebody's property. And that's a challenge. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Okay. I agree with you. I mean, even though it's my property, if I take it and put it on the right of way,
we should just be able to get it.
And
pick it up.
So these people aren't asking for permission. They just pull up to the intersection and put them back.
I agree. But I'm saying that's when they do that.
Yeah.
That to me, you know, you talk about that being their property, they gave up their right. You know, when you stick it on somebody else's property and drive off, it'd be like me putting it in your yard. I mean, I agree with you there.
We need to come up with some wording on that that makes it clear that we can go back. When I call the company or call that number and say, we've got an ordinance that prohibits, you need to remove. And I say, well, you can go remove it. We need to have something that's very clear and spells out what we can do. And that's something that I think we have to do.
And charge them.
Well, yeah. That's probably not worthy of the...
Is that not littering?
I consider it that.
What it ends up being, isn't
it? But yeah, I end up taking them up. And, you know,
we deputized them and just said you
deputized. My wife and I pick up a lot of highway. And you're running the same thing with yard sale signs. People put them up all over the neighborhood.
Yeah.
That don't take them down.
Right.
I mean, I would love to see, I know it would be problematic, but I would love for them to have to write on there somewhere what, you know, what date they put it up, when they're going to take it down, and a telephone number. So I can call and say, come pick them up, because I don't even know who to call. So I end up having to pick them up, you know, and carry them home, get them out of the neighborhood.
Yeah. I mean, signs in the right of way, it can be picked up.
All bets are off.
Okay.
I mean,
yeah. But ideally, the person who put it out would come back and pick it up.
Yeah, ideally. That's what that happens.
So what?
Maybe
yeah.
One time a year or something.
Yeah.
So what?
I will say that if you look, the political signs disappeared pretty quickly after the election.
They have.
Yeah.
Really, it's one of the few times that Republicans and Democrats work together around here.
Right.
I think the other part.
Even a couple of the carriers.
I think the other part of that is that that's a pretty well known ordinance now. I mean, that's become ingrained into parties and into candidates that when you put your sign out, you got to take it up.
Right.
Darryl, there's some on either party that probably go out ahead of when that's
way ahead, right?
There were some candidates who got a little ahead of everybody.
Right, we'll deal with the issue of removal, but I think that's really the main reason why.
Just a question. Are there limits on how many political signs you can put, say, in the median? You know, like, because we saw it, boom, 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 boom.
I don't think...
Then they took them down. You know, most of them down. I assume there must have been a problem.
If I understand that ordinance, I mean, that law correctly, it's just the time frame and the removal. I don't think there's an ordinance that says I can't put 15, I mean, a law that says I can't put 15 signs.
As long as you don't block the other guy.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Okay. I think that, I'm not 100% certain, but I believe that's right.
I think that's correct.
Yeah. So, what's the worst that can happen if you take up a garage sale sign and somebody calls and says, you stole my garage sale sign?
Well, maybe garage sale signs aren't a problem.
That's an example. I'm just saying.
Because they had it that one day and it's over.
Right.
They just don't come back and pick up their trash.
What's the worst case scenario at that point?
Worst case scenario is somebody contacts their attorney and the attorney says that you have destroyed my client's property. And they could sue the county for destruction of private property.
Up to the amount of the cost of the property?
No.
Here's a buck, dude.
Plus legal fees?
Yeah. Plus, I mean, that's, you know, anybody can sue for any reason.
Right, I understand that.
And then it's a harassal. I mean, it's just dealing with harassment, you know, engaging. That's worst case scenario.
Right.
Probably not likely to happen.
I'm just wondering. I mean, I agree with you 100% that needs to be an inconsequential sign, like a garage sale sign, a yard sale sign, a political sign. If it's in the right of way,
well, probably you're talking about me getting in trouble by taking
it. Oh, I understand. It's different if you do it, yeah.
But I mean,
he deputized you. Deputy Burroughs.
Well, you know what, though? If you park illegally, they'll tow your car.
Exactly. That's, I agree with
you.
Yeah.
So you're going to gripe about a yard sale sign? I mean, what's the difference?
Well, these are those, you know, when people put up direct TV.
I know.
Fast internet.
Yeah.
We will come back with some
verbiage on that. I've got an idea on how to address that, and then we need to run it by the county attorney and see what he thinks about that right now.
Okay.
It is an eyesore, and it's a problem, but do we want the county to be responsible for taking all those signs up? I mean, that's the other question. Are we going to have a sign officer that runs around all over the county pulling them up as fast as the broadband people will stick them in?
Sheriff's work crew.
I wonder if they get paid to do that. Anyway, yeah, I see your point.
Your point is spot on. I mean, Ned calls and I go, oh crap, I've got to deal with something. I mean, it's just there are other things that probably from a priority standpoint are much more important than science. But we have an ordinance and we also have an issue out there that I think needs to be addressed. And how do we do that then? So
I like his idea. That's our decision, but prison workers are...
Yeah, if he will do that, although they really have not been doing a lot of work crews lately. I have not seen a lot of work crews. I think there's been kind of a change in philosophy on that.
In getting back to 4.4, do we need to call out the North Carolina general statutes that allows campaign signs in the right of way?
I think there can be you can actually, in an ordinance, you can place a note that says what another, and in that case, that would actually prevail.
Mm-hmm.
And you can put that note as clarification. We have it in a subdivision ordinance where we make a note that DOT will not assume any road that has a right of way less than 50 feet.
Okay.
So you can do that.
4.6, and the change was just adding scenic byways to the section that share the off-premise signs designed to be visible from a road or a portion thereof are not allowed on scenic corridors or scenic byways.
And that's really not our regulations. And so that's more of a just calling out and making people aware that that is a law out there, that that's somebody else, not us.
Right. Again, a note?
Yeah.
And not part of the sentence?
I would just say period and then say, as a matter of information, if you wanted to go that way, designated scenic byway, they're not allowed on those items.
Okay.
Otherwise, what we're saying is that we'll enforce that too. That's your job.
Okay.
So I get in the truck.
Off-premise. The directional signs, it sounded like we were going to keep an exempted section, and so the addition of off-premise directional signs can be removed if you see fit. So 5.7. And then 5.5 may need some discussion, because when I read that, I was like, well, we allow off-premise temporary portable signs because we allow directional signs. How are they not off-premise portable signs? So I think that was my mistake when I crossed out 5.5, because through the discussion, we have highlighted the difference between a directional sign and an off-premise sign. Are there any objections to removing 5.7 since it's in the exempted area of
3.8?
I agree. Okay. That was for discussion. And the ordinance as it stands today has what is crossed out as off-premise temporary portable signs are prohibited.
I'm missing something here.
What are you missing?
So off-premise temporary portable signs
are prohibited.
They're prohibited.
Based on our current ordinance. That's what this sentence says. Off-premise temporary portable signs are prohibited.
Where are we at?
Yeah,
5.5, page 5.
It's below 5.7.
It is.
It's a solid number. It's the very bottom.
Very bottom.
That is not.
5 is what
Yeah, thank you for the clarity.
It's not on mine.
It says 5.5 here.
You got the editing copy, yeah.
Yeah.
I printed the one off from the email.
So you're saying that is in there?
I do. That's what people have.
Why were we crossing out the 5.5, which is, I guess, really 5.8?
Exactly. That was a mistake that I made. I accidentally crossed it off.
Gotcha.
And so I wanted to say,
is there a reason why it's not under Section 4, though? I mean, we have not discussed it, so I...
Yeah. I mean, when I originally read it, I didn't see a need for it to be here, which is why I crossed it out. But because it seems like we have off-premise temporary signs that we're allowing. So why would we say we're not allowing them?
Is there a difference between that and just the portable magazine?
Yeah, what is the portable? The portable is on wheels, and that's the ones where typically you have lights in an area.
Yeah.
And people, once you get those started, then everybody
wants one.
Then I want one, and that is a task where planning board and county commissioners did not want
everybody
temporary.
What's that one?
Everybody wants one. I want to say.
we need to go back and make sure that we've got portable defined, and then
we did not. And so I added that in 1.22 temporary sign and temporary portable sign. We do have it, portable sign, but it just doesn't have the word temporary in front of it. 1.14. Any freestanding sign that is not permanently affixed to the ground without limiting on wheels as well as V-shaped.
Yeah, okay, that's fine. It just needs to go under Section 4.
Okay. So, Section off-premise temporary portable signs are prohibited. 4.8. That makes way more sense. You'll notice it's also in 7. Temporary portable off-premise signs are prohibited.
That's fine to strike it there. That can be removed completely.
Are also in Section 7.
I have a question on 5.6. No off-premise sign should be located on the same parcel as an on-premise sign or within 50 feet of an on-premise sign. I mean, what if the parcel's 2,000 acres or someone owns a mile of road frontage?
That's why it's 50 feet.
Well, but it says...
Or located on the same parcel,
or within 50 feet of that sign.
Right. It can't be located on the same parcel, and it can't be located within 50 feet if a neighbor has a sign on their property. Shouldn't we just have some kind of distance that...
Okay, so you would like, if I may, you would like to just say, shall be located within 50 feet of an on-premise sign. Right? And get rid of or strike on the same parcel.
Right.
Yeah. Join me. Is there? I mean, your argument is good. Not many 2,000 acre parcels
or
private, but using that as a point, if it was 200 or even 20 or two.
If everybody at this table has a 1 acre parcel, and I have a 200 acre parcel with a half a mile of road frontage, I can put up one sign, and then y'all can put up one sign in the next 300 feet.
So then the question is, from the standpoint of control, using Mike's word.
No, that's the word. Sign control ordinance.
It's about aesthetics. That's the word.
No, it goes to aesthetics. I mean, do you want to have that many signs like that every 50 feet? Even if you have... Let's say you've got 2,000 feet of road frontage.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Maybe it's 300 feet. But just because it's on one parcel is inconsequential, because a parcel could be a quarter acre. It could be...
But it's really not even parcel size. It's a frontage.
Right.
Yeah. It's road frontage is really what we need to be measuring on that. And we did not do that with this.
Are we on 7.6?
We're on 5.6. We backed up. Mac wanted to go back and look at 5.6. Can we work on the wording on that? Yeah. And I think what we'll do is we'll try to put it towards a linear foot distance or on one parcel. No. You can have as many as you want on your own parcel as long as they're 300 feet apart, something to that effect. I mean, I don't know what the distance is, but that's okay.
So if Daryl has an on-premise sign, and I want to have an off-premise sign, but the person on, okay.
You and Daryl just need to work it out.
Yeah, but we can't because there's too much control.
And somebody will come and take it anyway.
That's the end.
Ned's been deputized. He's coming back and then you,
man. I'm just wondering if on-premise, off-premise. Yeah, okay, never mind. Go ahead.
Okay.
I'll come back to it when I figure it out.
Any likewise?
I know you're good.
Thank you, man. I think that's, you raise a good point. And it's really, it's not parcel. It's the linear foot of the road frontage. Seven.
Did anyone have any concerns with Section 6 before we just completely pass it over? Okay. On-premise temporary. I would like to take out that word portable and just use temporary signs, because they don't have to be on wheels to be allowed, right?
Yeah, the temporary portable is a very specific
definition. Yeah. On-premise temporary signs shall be allowed for a maximum of 45 consecutive calendar days. It may be displayed once at 6 month period intervals.
There's where you get me on my taking it down every 13 days.
Every 40 days.
45 days.
You want to keep it even with 30s and have 60 days? I'm concerned with about 30s, I mean.
It's up to you guys.
Right.
It is currently 14.
It's currently 14.
Okay.
How long has it been 14? Like, how many years since this has been gone over like this?
If you look on the back page, it was adopted in 2003. The last revision was December 8th, 2003.
I think this, I don't remember this being changed. It's been in there for
it's
a
long time.
Probably back to when the ordinance was adopted originally.
Mark, something that came to mind when I was reading this particular case, and I'll ask you if it's a problem. If you ever had to deal with it. There's the occasional situation where folks run a small business at their house. They may have a permanent garage sale, so to speak, on their porch, carport, whatever the case may be. Has that been a problem in the past?
No.
Do you have to deal with it under this?
No.
Okay. Then I'm not.
You know, I'm not aware of any scenario like that.
Okay.
Ever. And
it's just a case where a lot of times those people are doing best they can and what they have with their ability to try to make a living.
Right.
And I didn't want the county to be a burden to that. So if it's not a problem that you've had to deal with.
Yeah, but it's on premise, right?
It is.
Yeah, so that's fine.
Okay. But then they have a sign in their front yard that says garage sale.
It's on their property.
It's technically a temporary sign. If it's not a problem, I'm not concerned about it.
Right, yeah.
All the time they take it around, put them up.
Yeah.
Put them up on the back. So, whatever.
Are we scrapping 7.6 and going with directional signs? Covering
7.6, I had one thing. That 7.62, where is the for sale by owner? Why does it have to be advertised?
I like
that.
If we're going to keep that on, that's
right.
Let's scrap it.
Mm-hmm. Well, scrapping the whole thing, yeah, that's...
No, 7.6.
Yeah.
7.62.
Kim, I think what we're suggesting is that we just strike.
We'll do the whole thing.
Yeah, because it's we've already got it covered.
We have it covered.
All right.
And 7.7 is moving to 4.
Here was my question. When we get these two signs, 75 feet apart.
7.4.
We've got two different pieces of property. It says on that instance.
I don't have to think anything about
that. Was my question earlier. I was trying to formulate. On 7.2, this is maybe a dumb question. You may have an answer. Where it says, in no instance shall any two portable signs be closer than 75 feet apart. What if it's two different places? What if it's two different owners? Once again, Darrell and I have side-by-side lots. He has a sign up, and then I open a business. The way that reads, in no instance, that means that he beat me to the signs, so now I can have one.
My Daryl's barbecue sign would be on premise.
Right.
Mike's books on the Constitution shop would be on premise.
Right. But what I'm saying is, what if I want to put an on premise sign in your property and mine adjoin?
Yeah.
But the only place I can put it's less than 75 feet from your sign.
On your premise.
On my premise. I'm just wondering if the way that's worded is what I'm questioning.
Should we add on the same parcel? Because you guys would have the
right
per establishment,
but there's only one allowed.
There's
only one. In no instance shall any two portable signs be closer than 75 feet apart
per
establishment.
Per establishment.
Per establishment.
That's currently in Tampa, right?
Yeah.
So your bookshop's a different establishment than my bar.
Okay.
So should we say 75 feet apart per establishment or on the same parcel? Or some per?
Well, here's my problem. You're saying I can only have one, right? And then you're saying if you have two, they can't be 75.
Yeah. Good point.
Oh, yeah.
Just strike the second sentence.
The way it's written right now, what you brought up is the way it could be.
Yeah, that's, and like Mike's point is where you just end up where one person puts up their sign, and then the next day you end up with just a series of temporary portable signs, and that's what we were trying to prevent at that time, is just having a series of these. And I think we need to go back as staff where we have 45 here, and we're referring back to that earlier. This is only for temporary portable signs, is that 45 days. We've got to go back and address the time frame where we said we need to make sure we have 45 days. It's not here, I don't think. We need to go back and just make sure we're real clear on that. You follow me?
No.
Yeah, we need, I've got it.
Because I thought we scratched the whole section of the other temporary.
We did, but Daryl wanted to make sure that if we did that it went to 45 days.
And that's temporary signs.
This section is under temporary portable signs.
Haven't we decided that portable signs fall under temporary signs in general?
I may be confusing.
We just scrapped the word portable signs. Portable out of that.
We're going to treat all portable signs.
7.172, we've taken portable out of all of those?
Out of 7.1.
No, all right, but we've got 7.2, 7.3, 4, and 5 all have the word portable.
Yeah, the whole section
is all dealing with portable signs.
It's in the league. It's in the league.
Yeah. We just need to go back and make sure that we've addressed Daryl's.
Yeah. Okay, I see what you're
saying. Okay. And so we probably need to keep portable in 7.1.
Okay.
Yeah.
Most businesses have more than one temporary portable sign on their premise. If they have a temporary sign, like those flags or open or grand opening, you know, they have more. And this is going back to my understanding of what a portable sign is, which is different than how they talk about portable signs when the ordinance was created. But those little flimsy signs, or those flag signs, they can be moved. They're portable. Just as much as a V sign or a sign on wheels. So,
So you're suggesting we change the definition?
We need to come back. We'll come back.
Yeah.
Okay. I think we know what the intent is, and I think we just need to make sure that we understand and are giving you good advice.
Okay. Here's a question for you. Do you want to continue through this? Or is it almost 9 o'clock and then can we continue this at a later time? Because I know a lot of you here are young folks, but I've been up a long time. I've been up since about 3:30, so I'm ready to go home. But
well, I want to thank all of you for your service and bless your heart.
Thank you.
Coward.
But
I really don't have much. Most of my notes have already been covered.
I mean, do we want to continue this to the next? Is it okay, or do we want to plod on through? I'm good with either one, but
I kind of think we kind of look over each
other. Yeah,
I think
I can.
You
can
pick
them
make
there.
Yeah,
pick this up as old business next month.
Well, the reality is, the changes from where we are I don't think are controversial, or they may be significant, but I don't think anybody would disagree with these changes. And so if you have concerns or questions, just let Joy or me know. I guess what we'll do is at the next meeting, prior to the next meeting, send you out a revised draft. Would, this has always been a question. Revised, not from what we've talked about tonight, but revised from the original, so that you're looking at the changes that are being proposed. Is that okay? Does that make sense?
Yes.
You're not trying to show multiple revisions. Yes. We're just going to show current with what, after the discussion tonight, what we have.
Okay. Yeah, because we have this for reference.
You have that for reference.
I think we got confused on a couple times on the cell tower ordinance before y'all were here, because we'd have a revision, and if there'd be a revision to the revision, I was like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
Okay. But so I think we did be better to do what you suggested.
It would be easier for staff to do that too.
Right. That was when we had those three different colors, and
yep,
you had to bring your crayons and everything in the meetings.
Yeah, confusion.
But anyway, so if it's okay with everybody without having to vote, I think we can just continue this at the next meeting with the revisions, have time to think on it, and move on with the agenda, and try to get to the house tonight. All right, new business. Is that you, Joy, or is that Mark? Planning board procedures.
Joy's going to start. No?
Five.
You've got handouts.
I have handouts.
We have handouts. And so with the new board members, we talked about procedures, particularly concerned about email correspondence that could be seen as violating open meetings law, sunshine. And so that's really, this is a document that Tricia Hogan, working with Paige Lamell, Maureen Kopeloff was actually involved with this too. It just lays out what the roles are of the different boards and what are correct procedures or not. That's all. That's really all we're trying to do. Existing board members know, Daryl knows from his experience as commissioner, you can't have communication with everybody where you're making a decision without it being a public meeting, even if there is nobody from public. And so that's the main thing.
Even one at a time.
I don't. To me, the city attorney is real clear with some of his boards. He's saying you can't have communication even one at a time. I take it a little bit more liberally on that, and as long as there is not a quorum that is in that discussion,
all right,
you can have that. It's easy to mess up, though, or forget,
right,
or you add somebody, or somebody adds somebody else's name, and you didn't catch it in the CC.
Right.
You definitely wouldn't catch it in the BC. So I just think it's really careful. You have to just be very mindful of who you are communicating with. I think if staff sends you an email, you could reply back saying, thank you, I would like more information. You know, help us understand. I don't have a problem with that being a reply. You're asking for information. You are not telegraphing how you think the ordinance should be written or what you're going to do in terms of voting.
Right, okay.
But I think it might be helpful for Sandy and others to know that you want this information. Yeah, or we
right.
will then make sure that they get that same information so that we're
okay.
sharing all of it.
Right.
And I'll note too, because I said and watched commissioners do this improperly, but you should only feel necessary to recuse yourself from the vote if you stand to gain financially from
family or friend would gain.
Yeah. If there's financial gain, then that's it. Right, Mark? That the way they taught us in commissioner school is that had to be financial gain.
We recused ourselves on the talks with Scott and I did.
Yeah, I mean, and you need to ask the board's permission to recuse. You need to say, may I, and it's a vote. And they may come back and say, given the situation, we don't necessarily think there's a conflict.
So, but it is financial, but I think that there could be, if anybody in your anybody in your family or a close friend could gain by your voting on that or having knowledge of something that others didn't have, then you couldn't do it. So when Mac is wanting to sell those temporary portable signs on wheels,
like Daryl Scott McCall and I recused ourselves several years ago when there was a vote on the sign at Toxaway, because I worked for the Toxaway company, and because he worked for the Toxaway company, we came in front of the board and said, hey, we think there's a conflict, or there's a, at least the appearance of the conflict of interest.
I can understand the appearance of the conflict of employee, but technically,
right.
You don't stand a gain by
right, but that. But we just did it as a matter. There were, you know, and I think it was above the board in that instance. I don't know if it was necessary, but
I think
I didn't want there any appearance.
Is always probably the better way to go on it, but. You have some guidance here that Tricia gave us. Floodplain challenges, I'm not going to belabor this right now. We will need to look at the floodplain ordinance at some point in time, but right now we have some properties that are inside the city's ETJ, extraterritorial jurisdiction, that are filling in the floodplain, filling in the floodway. Diking. If it's in the floodway, they're diking. And so we're looking at, we've talked to a number of property owners, and we're just saying you either have to get, if it's in a 100-year floodplain, you need to be permitted. And we've actually gotten several people to come in, and Joy has been really great working with people, and they've gotten permits. They're fine. What we're dealing with now is filling in the floodway, and that's a little bit more difficult. One of the ones that we actually have a permit for, this is a really interesting question. So the law came about in 2012, and it was actually introduced by Chris Whitmire. And it said that if it's a bona fide farm and it's in the ETJ, then it is the county's responsibility to enforce, not the city of Brevard's. So, what happens, at what point in time does it go back to the city of Brevard's jurisdiction? And how do you define bona fide farm? Because there's one property owner that has made significant change in the floodplain, not the floodway, but floodplain, and I doubt it will ever be used for farming again. So, it's not. How and when do we say it's no longer a bona fide farm? And that's something we've got to get some guidance on. Just wanted to make you aware of that.
The city doesn't regulate farms at all. They don't approach that.
Right. That's right.
They don't.
Right. And except for floodplain, and then it kicks over to the county.
Different things.
Yeah, county, and it kicks over to county.
The county has that.
Yeah. All right. There has been some discussion about looking at a joint meeting, and this came up in a conversation last week. Mike, we have not talked about this, and that is we have in the past had joint meetings with the city of Brevard planning. And with the Transportation Advisory Committee and County Planning Board. And I would like to suggest that I work with Joy and I work with Daniel Cobb and maybe try to target a joint meeting sometime in June. May or June, probably June. We've got a lot going on in May. And I'd like to have the sign control ordinance over. That should be done next month. So I would say, if we could work towards something like that in June.
I'm just one guy, but can we do it on a Thursday? Because Tuesday and Wednesday, I'm...
No, we. I think we. If we make the invitation, we can.
Okay.
We can see what.
Thursday works better for me because Tuesday and Wednesday I'm in bed at 6:30.
Not a good day.
I don't. We never have a meeting on Wednesday night unless it's something that's an emergency. We would never have a meeting on Wednesday.
It's just I'm in bed at 6:30 and up at 3:30, 4 o'clock to go to work. So I would prefer to do it on Thursday.
Yes.
April 4th.
Yeah, April 4th. We've got a TAC meeting.
Transportation Advisory Committee, and it is a public meeting, just as this is. We're not putting the agenda out for the public, but we are noticing the meeting. We have NCDOT will have a representative that will be talking about the entrance to Pisgah National Forest and the intersection specifically of 276, 280, and 64, and looking at different design alternatives. One of those being a roundabout. Another being looking at how you would modify the existing. And so Joy's point is, if you would like to hear DOT's presentation on that discussion, that will be on the 4th.
In the County Commissioner's
Chamber. County Commissioner's Chamber at 7 p.m.
Where?
County Commissioner's Chamber.
At 7.
7 p.m., yes, sir. Okay. The other thing we've got, staff just has to prepare in April by ordinance a annual summary that is provided to the county commissioners of work done. And then the last thing I have is the next meeting is April 20th, if I remember correctly. And there's some timing issues with that. Is that
spring break for Transylvania County Schools is that week? If I'm the only one out of town that day, that's fine. You guys can meet without me.
Is anybody else? Kenzie, that's not an issue for you. Spring break is not.
Is that the night before Good Friday?
It is.
And so Good Friday is the 14th.
Yes.
So it would be the following Thursday.
Yeah. Is everybody? And when is Little River meeting?
That is also the 20th. Little River's meeting is also the 20th.
I've made a commitment to Little River to be there for another purpose, and they meet at 6?
6 to 8.
6 to 8. So I've made a commitment to be there to help, and then Joy is going to be traveling. So the thought was, could we move our meeting to the 27th as trying to accommodate that?
That would actually be better for me, because I have class on Thursday nights until the end of April, but I'd be done with it.
Meeting without staff.
Kaylin will be here. Kaylin will be here.
I know.
Yes, you do. Your staff.
I have no objection to moving it to 27th. It doesn't.
Yes.
27th is all right.
That's fine.
Mac? You got a camping trip?
Not on Thursday.
All right.
Okay, so April 27th.
Or we can have a meeting without you. Either one. You take the choice.
I'm just a little goosey on that one there.
Okay.
That's all I have, sir.
All right.
Is there any?
Joy also passed around the announcement that Duns Rock Community Center will be showing the documentary film from Hell or High Water. The other board members have seen it, but we thought that some of the new planning board members might like an opportunity to view the film if you did not see it at the library, and it helps us all better understand the importance of flood control ordinances and the reality.
It's
so good.
Yeah.
That's all we have, sir.
All right. I guess the next thing would be public comment, and seeing that there's no public, we'll move on to board member comments and give everybody a chance. Your first meeting, you may not have anything to say, you may have a lot to say, but we'll start with you, Mr. Jackson, work our way around.
Well, one thing, I don't know who Mr. Jackson is.
Okay, all right, I got it. Okay.
Kim's in Sunday.
So. Okay.
There was something that came out about another one of these things coming up that I
the training session.
It's a different one than that was presented by Trisha Hogan.
It was training for us.
If you're interested in going, you're welcome to attend, and we can pay for your registration fee.
Okay. What training is that, George?
It's the quasi-judicial board training offered by UNC School of Government.
Is that in Asheville?
It is at the Arboretum on May 23rd.
So we don't know the real time.
I think the only thing I saw, wasn't that really a save the date for that?
No, that you're different meaning. If you go to the link that's in the email, you get to see the two or three options of the meeting dates that have the time. And it's a training that they're offering at different places around the state, and the one that is closest to us happens to be May 23rd. But they have the full information on their website.
Okay. Yeah,
I
personally would like to attend. Anybody else? Is that a non that you would like to?
Probably, yeah.
Right.
Well, I'll have a look at it.
I would too.
Fourth?
Is the, you know, I'm a big difference. No, I like to work. I would do the day.
I'm busy that year.
The city took up the one, it may have been this one that's not here. It was at WC over at Biltmore Park.
Yeah.
And the city rented a van and took us all together and paid fees and everything.
Beautiful. We'll pay your fees. And we also, Kimsey is, when he was on the planning board over there, said the city actually pays board members for meetings. And the county does not.
We'll talk about that in a minute.
No,
Joy
asked me how much, and I can't tell you because I never paid it.
Joy will follow up with you guys on that.
So I see the four new members would like to go.
That's great.
If you guys would like to go, please let me know.
Okay.
Yeah, look at the specific timing and see if that works for you. And please email me.
Did I mention they bought us a meal afterwards?
They're t-shirts too, right?
It's going to be fun. Anything else?
I'm sorry. I probably don't apologize. Well, it was an interesting first meeting, and I'm sure we're going to have some more.
So this was an easy meeting.
It seemed a lot worse than this, didn't you? Go ahead.
How are we going around?
Well, I'm happy to be here. I look forward to working with you all. And I will just say, anybody that was involved in the plan, I haven't had a chance to really go into depth now, but I've looked through it, and it looks like a really good product. So kudos to anybody that was involved in that.
Just excited to be here. I was on JHCT for a number of years, which was a lot of fun, so this should be a lot of fun too. Anything I can do to help, let me know.
I'd say welcome aboard. Since our last meeting was pretty tough with four members, and then we got down to three members and had to quit meetings. Yeah. I look forward to working through these issues with everyone.
I think we're a good group.
I'll say welcome aboard to the new members this weekend. Welcome aboard to the new members. Feel free to reach out to me, and I'm sure Mike and Matt feel the same way, and of course staff. I'll be glad to give you my number if you don't have it. Call me anytime. I'll be glad to talk to you about issues that we're dealing with, or, you know, back to history or whatever the case may be. I came on here with a pretty good understanding of what the planning board did and everything that was going on in the county, and still had to catch up. Mm-hmm. So don't feel like, don't be afraid to ask questions. Don't be afraid to say stuff, because we know firsthand this takes a while to, everything we're working on takes a while to get your head wrapped around it. So
I know more about signs than I really wanted to.
And you ain't learned it all, yeah.
That's one of the nice things about this role is you learn a lot about the community, the county, its history, little nuggets of that nature. You otherwise probably would never run across. So welcome aboard and look forward to working with you.
Thanks, same here.
This is me. We do need to get contact information out for each other. I'm sure that you're taking care of that. Phones, email.
I do have that.
I don't have the new list.
Everybody's been great with me so far. So.
All right. I reflect. First of all, welcome aboard. I said that at the beginning. We're glad to have you because we've about ran out of things to talk about with just three of us. But if you have any questions, contact me or Beryl or Mac or. You know, Mark's a big help. I don't like to pay Mark compliments, but I will. He's a big help. He's been a tremendous help when I've been as a chair. That Hell or High Water movie, very good movie if you haven't seen it. Also, have you had any forward progress on digitizing the movie that you made covering the whole county? The tour of the county.
When you drove the county?
Yeah.
Yes, we have a purchase order. We just need to take it to the place.
He has a video of what year?
It would have been 1991, 92.
1991, September 20th, 1991.
Drove the county. Drove the entire county with a video camera.
Oh, wow.
So it would be great if we could take a look at that just to see how things have changed over time.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah.
So I'm hoping we can get that digitized and in some format where we can all look at it.
Having done that, putting signs out, we're going to need to set aside several meetings.
Well, I mean,
what's in this
entire maybe we can get it online and just watch it.
How many hours did that
take? It took a while. We just did, Mike was a little bit too generous, we did the major roads. So we did 64 from Hendersonville to Jackson, we did 280, and we did 276. And I think we did 178 going up to Redline Inn. So those are the roads that we did. So I think in all it takes about 2 hours, a little bit more than 2 hours to get all of that. Terry Ashworth. Terry Ashworth was the planning board chair at that time. I drove and he held the camera. So
was 280 a four lane inn by then?
280 was, no, 280 didn't become four lane until about 94, 95, I think. Yeah.
Wow. Pretty cool to watch that.
Yeah.
I barely remember those times. Anyway, I really don't have much else to say. I'm just glad that we're moving forward, and I know this seems like detail, but it really, you know, and as far as Daryl, I want to reflect one more thing. If you have an opinion, jump on in and say it, because I think one of the trademarks of this board over time has been the ability to take different opinions and make something out of it. I think, would you agree with that?
In the past, that is very true, and I would say, knowing planning board members now, even though I don't know them well, I don't think that will be a problem as they...
But you know,
become accustomed to everybody,
right? But
and it shouldn't be. It should be something that is very candid. And if there's something that you need us to do to help you better prepare for a meeting, just let us know.
I have nothing else, so I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
All right. That doesn't require. If you want to adjourn, stand up and leave.
Open your feet.
Yeah, you got it.
I never realized I was a hobo until I got this handout. My favorite meal has been with me is cornbread.
I'm a hungry surfer. She said, I'm packing a surfer, and I realized I'm about 4:30. Can you email me all the contact and stuff?
I have them for the new ride to all the old planning board members. Yes.
Okay, cool.
Because we set them in planning board handbooks. Do you guys have somewhere? You have handbooks somewhere. But yeah, we'll keep you the electronic version of the new contact.
Yeah.
Lindsay, thank you.
You're welcome.
You know, you take an ordinance like the sign ordinance, and it's easy to just flip through and have general ideas. You write those down. And when you have an issue, every single